Blog Talk Radio.
Come together to embrace love they have from people they can trust. Some say it's pagan, but I say families coming together can't be a bad thing. But we do need to remember the real meaning of Easter. So why don't y'all sit back and listen as Ken and I read you the Easter story.
Amen. Okay. Do you want to play some music before, or do you want to get right into reading it?
We might as well start.
Okay. We'll get right into reading the Easter story. Okay? I'll start it out unless you want to
start it out.
Okay, this is a summary, okay, and then we're going to get into the actual verses that are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, we're going to first talk about the Last Supper, and it's in Matthew 26:17-30, Mark 14:12-25, and Luke 22:7-23. See, the story of the Last Supper is about a wonderful invitation from Jesus to receive his gift. And this is a summary about the Last Supper Bible story as told in books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke below. Okay? So, read more in depth the Bible verses from Scripture, okay, and to understand the meaning, okay, of this teachable event in the Bible. So the Last Supper took place on the first day of Passover, or the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Jesus and his disciples are headed into the city to prepare for meals to celebrate Passover. Passover is a remembrance of Israel being freed from slavery to Egypt, and specifically when the angel of death passed over the homes of the Israelites that had lamb's blood over the doors. As the disciples reclined and ate dinner with Jesus, he explained to them that one of the 12 would soon betray them, and one by one the disciples denied it would be them, including Judas, okay, who would be the betrayer. Jesus responded to that person who betrays him and will have a terrible fate, and that indeed it was Judas. So Jesus prayed and thanked God for the meal. He then broke bread and shared the wine, and disciples explained to them how the bread was a symbol of his body broken for them, and the wine a symbol of his blood which would be poured out for the sins to be forgiven. This is where the church tradition of communion comes from. After the meal, Jesus became like a servant and washed the feet of his disciples. Peter did not feel right in having Jesus wash his feet, but Jesus said he was doing it to be an example to them. Now the disciples would be able to wash each other's feet, meaning they could be servants to all.
The Bible story of Judas betraying Jesus is found in all four Gospels. This powerful story is well known in Christian theology as one of the most significant events of disloyalty. There are several explanations as to why Judas betrayed Jesus, including bribery and demonic possession, that vary among the Gospels accounts. The Gospel implies that Jesus anticipated and permitted Judas's betrayal. One interpretation is that Jesus allowed the betrayal because it would allow God's plan to be achieved, and another that regardless of the betrayal, Jesus was eventually fated for crucifixion as part of God's plan. During the meal of the Last Supper, Jesus predicts that one of you will betray me, referring to Judas. Judas leaves the supper and goes to the Roman authorities, who are looking to arrest Jesus. He accepts a bribe of 30 silver and agrees to take them to Jesus. Judas knew that Jesus and the disciples would go to a garden near Jerusalem and led the soldiers there, stating, "Whoever it is I kiss, he is the one. Take him into custody and lead him away under guard." Leading the guard into the garden, Judas sees Jesus with his disciples and approaches him. "Greetings, Rabbi," Judas says, and he kisses Jesus very lightly. "Fellow, for what purpose are you present?" Jesus responds. Answering his own question, Jesus says, "Judas, are you betraying the man of the Son of Man with a kiss?" As the soldiers move toward Jesus, the apostles recognize what is happening. "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" they ask. Before Jesus can respond, Peter uses one of the two swords that the apostles have and attacks Malichus, a servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Jesus caresses the ear of Malichus, healing the wound. He then teaches an important lesson, telling Peter, "Return your sword to its place, for all those who take up the sword will perish by the sword." Jesus is willing to be captured, for he explains, "How would the scriptures be fulfilled and say that it must take place this way?" This then leads to the trial and crucifixion of Christ.
Amen. Okay. Now we're going to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus. It's in Matthew 27, verses 1 through 54, Mark 15, 1 through 40, Luke 23, 1 through 48, and John 19, 1 through 30. See, the crucifixion of Jesus is recorded in the New Testament in books known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible story is a central summary of the saving gospel of Jesus. Jesus had prophesied of his death, and Matthew, from the time of Jesus, began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day so as to be raised alive. Jesus understood that his life would be required as a sacrifice for the sins of man. At the height of his ministry and miracles, many Jews came to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, Son of God. The Jewish leaders feared Jesus because of his growing followers. With the help of Judas Iscariot, Roman soldiers arrested Jesus, and he was put on trial for claiming to be the king of the Jews. According to the Roman law, the punishment for rebellion against the king was death by crucifixion. So the Roman governor Pontius Pilate was reluctant when it came to the punishment for Jesus. Pilate could find no wrong in Jesus, yet he wanted to give the people what they wanted, and that was death of Jesus. So Pilate washed his hands in front of the crowd to symbolize that he was not taking responsibility for the bloodshed of Jesus, and then handed Jesus over to be beaten and lashed. Jesus had a crown of thorns thrust on his head and made to carry his cross along the pathway to the hill where he would be crucified. The location of Jesus' crucifixion is known as Calvary, which is translated from a place of skull. Okay? Crowds had gathered to mourn and watch Jesus' death. Jesus was nailed to the cross between two criminals and his sides pierced by a sword. While Jesus was mocked, one of the criminals asked Jesus to remember him, and Jesus responded, "Truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus then looked to heaven and asked God to forgive them, for they do not know what they do. When taking his last breath, Jesus spoke, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished." Extraordinary events marked the death of Jesus. The sky was completely dark for 3 hours as Jesus hung on the cross. At the moment of his last breath, the earth shook, temple curtains split from top to bottom, and the tombs of saints opened and their bodies raised from the dead. The crucifixion of Jesus was part of God's plan from the very beginning of birth, okay, of Jesus. The sin of mankind will require a sacrifice. The sinless life of Jesus was lived and given so that man could receive a salvation of eternal life in heaven.
Now we're going to do the resurrection of Jesus, Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, the belief in God's saving grace through Jesus is destroyed. When Jesus rose from the dead, he confirmed his identity as the Son of God and his work of atonement, redemption, reconciliation, and salvation. The resurrection was a real, literal, physical rising of Jesus' body from the dead. Jesus was arrested and tried and found guilty of claiming to be a king. His body was hung on a cross between two thieves. After his death, Jesus' body was wrapped in linen cloths and placed in a tomb with a large stone rolled across the opening. On the third day, an early Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and another Mary came to the tomb and found it empty. Sitting on the rolled-away stone was an angel of the Lord who told them to not be afraid because Jesus had risen. As the woman left to tell the disciples, Jesus Christ met them and showed him his nailed, pierced hands. Both the Old and the New Testament speak of the truth of Jesus being risen from death. Jesus testified of his resurrection before he died on the cross, and his disciples witnessed his body after the resurrection. Below, or next, we're going to give you Bible verses and scriptures that both prophesize of the resurrection and testify of its reality after Christ's death.
Amen. So let's go to Matthew 26, verses 17 to 30. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat Passover?" Verse 18, he replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house." Verse 19, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. Verse 20, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. Verse 21, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." Verse 22, they were very sad and began to say to him, "Well, surely you don't mean me, Lord." Verse 23, Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who will betray him, says, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." Verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is of my body." Then he took the cup, verse 27, then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it from all of you. This is verse 28. This is my blood of the covenant, which poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. Verse 29. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Mark 14:12-25. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you large rooms upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe is the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him to have not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took the cup. Oh, I moved a little too far up. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out of many, he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Amen. Luke 22, verse 7, verse 23.
Play a song.
Huh?
Play a song.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me play a song first, okay? All right. Okay, let me get there. I'm sorry. Okay. I gotta get to where I left off at. Here we go. We'll be right back. Amen. All right. Okay. Now let's get into Luke 22, verses 1 to 6. Now the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching, too, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for the same way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Verse 3, then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. Verse 4, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed them, with them how he might betray Jesus. Verse 5, they were delighted and agreed to give him money. Verse 6, he consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present.
Luke 22:47-54. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this, and he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, let's see. Matthew 27, verses 1 to 54. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said. I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That is your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this money in the treasury since it's blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He said, if you have said so, Jesus replied. When he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. That was the governor's custom of the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At the time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus and Barabbas. Okay, so when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want to release to you, Jesus or Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him in a message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted out loud, crucify him. When Pilate saw he was getting nowhere, but that instead of an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. He goes, I'm innocent of this man's blood. He said, it's your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and our children. They released Barabbas to them, but he said he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered to the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, and they met a man from Cyrene named Simeon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. After tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watching over him. Above the head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those of you who passed hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are a son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine and vinegar and put it in a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of the many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection in the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
Luke 23:1-48. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse. No, that's
yep.
not what we want.
That's not what we want. Okay.
A little farther down.
Yeah.
We're having a little bit of technical difficulty here because I downloaded the wrong thing. I should have let Ken do it, but I didn't.
That's the same thing.
And I downloaded it incorrectly, so we're having to move around.
Okay.
Going to go to Matthew 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know what you are looking for, Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away whilst you were sleeping. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story was widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said,
all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
Yeah, that's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, so we need to move down.
That's going to be the same thing.
Same thing. I just downloaded a lot of things over and over, didn't I?
Yeah. It's the same thing. Well, it's the four Gospels. That brings us to the end of the story. Okay? All right. Yeah, we're not going to read every gospel of the same thing over and over and over. So you got the whole story there, okay, of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Okay, as told by Scripture.
I'm glad y'all enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, I kind of downloaded not what I actually wanted to give y'all this evening. I actually wanted to give you a reading from the King James Version, which is not what I downloaded, but we gave you the story. You know the true meaning of Easter. But like I said earlier, it's all about family. It's all about being with people you love, knowing you're cared for, and knowing that somebody actually died for your sins. And one day, you'll meet him.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. Okay? Okay. How many of you out there do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that is okay, because you will get a chance to do so in just a moment. So, are you living a life that you don't want to? Are you lost but and needing to be found? Okay? Are you suffering from some kind of depression or anxiety? Okay. We got Joseph Gibson calling. Okay, I'm gonna bring him on in a little bit, but let me finish up with this. Okay, and if this is you, okay. All right, I would really like you to sit there and say this simple little prayer after me, okay, and so the Lord can get to know you and you can get to know the Lord, okay? Okay, it's called the Sinner's Prayer, and it helps you, okay, to get to know Jesus. So if you want to know Jesus tonight, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner, and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation, and I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins at Calvary and rose from the dead on the third day. So, once again, thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you just said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries want to welcome you into the family of God. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you. Okay, if you want to call in, okay, and tell us that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then do so by calling this number, 657-383-1487. I'll repeat that. That is 657-383-1487, and then press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, okay, and you can let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Because right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. So I want you to let us rejoice with them. Amen. Okay? Be that first caller to say that you accepted the Lord. Okay? and that could trickle in 10, and 10 could trickle in 100, and 100 could trickle in 1,000, and so on and so on and so on. But be that first caller. God bless you all. Amen. Let me bring on my guest. I have Joseph Gibson on the line. Okay? Here we go, Joe. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. I see Blog Talk Radio did not answer our complaints about the chat room. I'm having trouble logging into the chat room. I got the phone number, and you took my call live, and we see Blog Talk Radio obviously is sold out to the corporation, and you talk about Jesus here tonight, and everyone says Good Friday. You know, look, folks, Good Friday. If Jesus rose 3 days later, then what the hell are we doing celebrating Easter Sunday? If he went to the cross on Friday, on Good Friday, and he rose 3 days later, that would bring us to Monday. The fact of the matter is, Jesus went to the cross on Wednesday, okay, and he rose on Saturday. And it's 9:37 right now, p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I'm at in Greensboro, North Carolina, calling in. And he went to the cross at 6 p.m. on Wednesday and rose on Saturday. Okay, there's no such thing as Good Friday. That's a Roman Catholic nonsense holiday, and you could celebrate your Easter bunny tomorrow morning and do your Easter egg hunts and do all that nonsense. But the fact of the matter is, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to say, "Yeah, I hunted for Easter eggs. The bunny rabbit. The bunny rabbit came. You know, Peter Cottontail. You know, and all that crap." The fact of the matter is, Jesus is already, he's in heaven, he rose on Saturday, you know, and there's no such thing as Easter Sunday. That's a Roman pagan holiday, just like December 25th. Jesus was not born on December 25th. Read your Bible. He was born in sometime in October, okay? East of, you know, read your Bible and understand it.
Yes,
but
amen.
To address, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
There's so many holidays that are pagan. Like, look at St. Patrick's Day. Okay?
Well, it's like Halloween. You know, it's like Halloween. I went to a First Baptist church down here in North Carolina, and they said, well, it's a good thing on Halloween. Everyone's dressing up in their Darth Vader Halloween masks and dressing up like Lord of the Rings and everything else. It's a good thing, you know, because we're giving out free hot dogs. Well, you go ahead and tell the Lord that, okay?
Yeah, I know.
Put no evil thing before your eye, you know?
Yeah,
simple as that.
There's so many churches that celebrate holidays, okay, that really shouldn't be celebrated, okay? I mean Easter, okay, I got the concept where they got the Easter eggs at and all that.
Well,
that,
Easter goes back to Osiris. Go back to Osiris. Read The Twin Babylons by Andrew Hyslop. Very good book. Very boring book. Very dry reading, but it explains the pagan holidays that we worship here today, like Easter Sunday, or even your fake news talks about it. Yeah, happy Easter. You know, there's no such thing as Easter, just like the church that burnt down in France, you know, which was owned by the Roman Catholic Church that has billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. You know what? You know, and the people in France are protesting against it. And we get back to the money changers. The only time in the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry that where he used force was when he went into the temple and saw what the money changers was doing, and he whipped them out of there. And we have the money changers in here, and I addressed that on my podcast show. But to get back to Blog Talk Radio, what they've done to the chat room here, and I'm looking at your chat room right now, and what I see in your chat room here, you know, they switched up the chat room, and we can't get live chatters anymore like we used to. And that's why I'm trying to, and God's Rainbow Ministries, I want to thank you so much for being a good friend of mine and allowing me on your program. We're going to come up with another podcast show where we're going to, you know, where it's free for everyone to log in. And we're looking at TalkShoe. We've been doing this investigating now where we can get more and tens of thousands of listeners, or maybe go to YouTube and subscribe on YouTube. And you know, what I'm just trying to say is these are the money changers, folks. Blog Talk Radio has sold out. And I contacted Blog Talk Radio live on your show the other night. And they said they'd get back to me the next business day. Guess what? Guess what, God's Rainbow Ministries? They haven't emailed me yet. But I'm going to tell you right now, after this month, I'm going to cancel my credit card information, and they're not going to get my $40 a month anymore, because you want to know why? I didn't agree to them changing their chat room up. I didn't agree to that contract we had. Blog Talk Radio, I've been broadcasting since 2014 on Blog Talk Radio, have interviewed many people, have had you as a guest on my podcast show. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're a sellout. Blog Talk Radio has sold out, and they know it, and we need to unite as Blog Talk Radio shows and go someplace else. That's what we need to do. Stop paying the $40 a month for us to bring the message that you're bringing and that I bring and other podcast shows out there and go someplace else. You know, together we stand, brother. Divided we fall. Simple as that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if you can implement that was Bitbanker and Dr. Leroy, I guess it was Jackson.
Yeah, Dr. Leroy and Bitbanker was on my show. And by the way, Bitbanker worked for Yale University and Quinnipiac College in Connecticut. And he did the networking. And actually, he was one of the original founders of the Internet and worked with Dr. Henley Lee that was on the O.J. Simpson case. Go back and look at Dr. Henley Lee. He knows him personally and worked with him. And Bitbanker was on my last show, which you were on. And we're working on that right now, God's Rainbow Ministries, because we want to give everyone a free voice before they shut us down, you know?
Okay. Amen. Because like I said, you get that program started, and, you know, you let me know, and I'll be more than happy, okay, to join you on that platform. But until then, I'm going to have to kind of stick with Blog Talk so I can keep my radio program going. I don't really like the chat room either, okay?
Yeah, tell me something. And God's Rainbow Ministries, tell me. I'm in your chat room right now. I'm looking at it, but I can't type nothing in. I mean, and you say update job. I updated my JavaScript. I updated my Adobe Flash Player. And what Blog Talk is doing about God's Rainbow Ministries, I'm going to tell you right now for all your listeners, what they're doing is they saw what I was doing on my podcast. We were uniting all Blog Talk Radio show hosts, and we were calling these criminal politicians. And you were there. You know it. You listened. And you know what? Blog Talk sold out to the corporation, and they switched it up like Amazon does, like Google does, like eBay does. And what they're doing is they're not allowing us to unite anymore. They're dividing us. You know what I mean?
An email address to log in, or you got to – you know, you got to have something. My co-host can't even log in, okay?
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And I contacted Blog Talk Radio's premium support, and you know what I got? A robot answering me. Oh, well, I'll get back to you in the next business day. And that was on Thursday when I did my show. And I'm not trying to take away from your show, but God's Rainbow Ministries, what I'm trying to say is we need to unite on alternative media. And you're absolutely right. Dr. Leroy, Bitbanker, and I have been working. We're working on a platform here. You know, and look, it's very hard because, you know, you got YouTube out there. You got TalkShoe Radio. And we want to create something where everyone can get a free voice. But now, like you said, guys, you know, people use your voice and call you a homosexual and want to downgrade you. And but at the same time, we, you know, everyone has a voice here live on your show right now on the phone line, and I'm sure,
yeah,
I assure you, they'll shut this down soon too. There'll have to be a code number we'll have to call in, or you'll have to have a certain number you'll have to call in to get on your program, and nobody's going to do that, brother. You know,
yeah,
because we live in the information age. We live in a fast-paced age. We live in the end times, you know.
Yeah.
And Jesus warned us about this. You know, it doesn't matter if you're homosexual. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. But that's what the system wants us to believe. They want us fighting over Ocasio-Cortez. They want us fighting over Donald Trump and the Mueller report. They want us fighting with each other. Because divided we fall, together we stand. Together,
yeah,
we stand, divided we fall, vice versa,
right.
Okay?
Right.
And Jesus in his Gospels, in the King James Version, brought that for us. And if you read the Bible and you rightly divide the Bible, you can understand and know the truth. But we're too busy celebrating the Easter Bunny on Sunday, and we're going to do an Easter egg hunt. And all of our churches, look, Jesus said in the end times, you know, he's outside the door of the church knocking, trying to get in. And the churches won't let him in because they're all in apostasy.
Well, you
right?
Know, yeah. Well, you see, what I think is, I think parents should be honest with their children, okay, even at a very early age, okay? Instead of, you know, saying, okay, there's going to be an Easter bunny, you're going to get an Easter basket and all that kind of stuff and candy and stuff like that. I think they should be honest, okay, and say, look, you know, there really is no Easter bunny, okay? Easter is not about that.
Well, it's a lie in itself, brother. Isn't it a lie? Isn't it a lie? Like, look, good old Saint Nick is going to bring you Christmas presents. Meanwhile,
yeah,
we got millions of children out there whose parents can't even afford to keep the electric bill on. Come on, man. There's no magical Santa Claus riding in his one horse open sleigh with his nine reindeers with Rudolph with the bright nose, and there's no Easter bunny coming tomorrow to bring you a basket full of candy. Okay? Unless you got all kinds of money from the Federal Reserve and you're a slave to the Federal Reserve, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's funny. It's really funny how parents mislead their children today. Okay, and you know.
Well, you just said it, brother. They mislead their own children, and in the
yes.
end times, women will rule over their men, and women and children will rise above their parents and disobey their parents and even bring them to death. And that's what we're seeing today. I mean, for God's sake, we're killing children at birth. You know? I mean, what's going on? And this all goes back to the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and all these judges. You know, I post all this crap on my Facebook page. You know? And I'm not trying to boast myself. I'm only trying to help you out. And I'm telling
yeah.
you right now, that's why I'm getting my name on the ballot here in Greensboro, North Carolina, for the 13th District of North Carolina for congressman. Because and my platform is to restore our republic, one nation under God. And it doesn't matter what God you believe in. The fact of the matter is God gives you free will and free choice, okay? And your free choice and free will has consequences, okay? But I'm not.
Yeah.
But it's not up to me to judge you. But the fact of the matter is, we need our government out of our everyday lives. We have a right to travel unregulated. We have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Get back
yep.
to the foundations of this country in America, okay? And get back to freedom.
Amen.
Freedom. You know, and if we and you people say, well, we need the government, we need the police officers out there keeping control. Yeah, right now we do, because our people are so lost. Exalteth a nation that is righteous. We are not a righteous people anymore. We're so busy and tuned with ourselves because we've got the Amazons out there. We've got these globalist corporations. We've got these Freemasons out there, these secret societies that are undermining our individual liberties today in America. And if we educate ourselves and get back to the foundations, like your show says, and your show is about getting back to God. And look, I respect everyone's belief and individual belief, but we should have a moral foundation, like I just told you. Exalteth a nation that is righteous. How can the foundations live, you know, without any foundation at all? You know, there's no righteousness anymore in this country. So therefore, we have men controlling us, and we have women now controlling us, and we know where women should be. Women should submit to their husbands. And I'm not saying men should beat up their women and beat them down. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there has to be a mutual respect, and we must obey our Creator. Our Creator. We're all endowed by our Creator to the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. None of us are entitled to that. We must work for it. And if we work for it together and enjoy it together, we can really have something special that the founders originally created by the greatest document other than the King James Bible, which is the Constitution of America. You know, get the government. Look, sir, God's Rainbow Ministries, if you create a product or if you create work from your bare hands, why do you need permission or a permit from your government to sell it? You know, why do you need permission or regulation by your government so that the bankers can profit? And we all, and this is where it boils down to, folks. If you get rid of the money changers that Jesus whipped out of the temple, get rid of the money changers, get rid of these criminal people that only have selfish interests, and these people worship Baal and Moloch, okay? These Freemasons, these Illuminatis. And look, I've got Freemason temples here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And JFK warned us about secret societies, secret meetings, secret, you know, we need to get rid of these people. And stop paying attention to your fake, felonious flat screen TV, and read your Bible, and start living for God, and be righteous. I know it's hard today. We all got to make a living, but that's where I get back to the Federal Reserve. We have a bartering system today that controls our everyday system. Look, we all need to use Federal Reserve notes to pay our electric bill, buy food in the grocery store. The food is tainted with poison. Your doctors are telling you to get vaccinated. I mean, this is something that we could talk about for hours, you know, but we need to get back to what Jesus talked about in the Bible, you know, and rightly divide the word as a workman approved unto God. You know, that's what we need to do. And it's a damn shame that all of us don't see that today, because we're so proliferated with drugs, alcohol, and there, it's a, like I always say on my show, brother, before I let you go here, it's a big club and you're not in it. And until we wake up and we start uniting together, and I don't care if you're a homosexual, I don't care. I don't care if you use drugs, I don't care. All my job is to preach the word of the gospel. Preach the word of the gospel, and you know what? It's not my job to judge you whether you're saved or not. Simple as that.
Right. Amen. Amen to that. Okay? Yeah, it's not our job to judge anybody. Okay? Okay?
I can't judge what's in your heart. I can't judge what was in your last guest or co-host's heart. I can't judge what's in that man's heart or woman's heart. I can't judge. Who am I to judge that person? Only God can. Simple as that. But if we read the gospel, he gives us a blueprint to tell us how to live, you know, and what to do. And you know, and you have to rightly divide the word. Simple as that. You know, and our country today, America, in which we live in, which most of your callers are listening in tonight, America has been lost. It's a lost man. For goodness sake, wake up. You know what I say? Knees on the floor, your eyes on the Bible, and pray to your Lord and Savior. And you know what? If you don't see a change in your heart or your life, or if you don't wake up and see what's going on, then I guess I'm a liar. But we'll find out when we die, won't we? We'll find out, because you're going someplace, brother. You're going to go someplace. You're either going to go to the ground and perish and die and you're dead, or you're going to have an eternal life someplace else. Isn't it interesting? Wouldn't you like to have everlasting life, like you said? Say that prayer. I mean, if accept the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that he died for you, you know, and all I'm saying is take a chance. If Jesus Christ was a lie, then it's the greatest lie ever told on earth. Right?
Yep, that's true. That's true. But, you know, historians, many of historians and Jewish leaders have tried to, you know, to debunk the story of Jesus. But it's been proven, okay? It's been proven that he did exist, okay? He did walk the earth. He was crucified, okay, for our sins.
Well, the prophecies have been fulfilled. We're seeing it right before our very eyes. I mean, even like I told you, don't watch your fake news out there, but look what's on your smartphones or your dumb phones. Look what's on your flat screen TVs. What's the most important thing happening today? The country of Israel. Everyone tunes in to everything that happens in Israel. Why? It's just a 12-mile-long state right now. Why is the world so concerned about the country of Israel? You know, why? That tiny little state that everyone hates, you know? I mean, figure it out. It's common sense, for goodness sake. Wake up. You know, wake up. Why is the whole world concentrated on that tiny, tiny little land called Israel? You know? I mean, and you got to rightly divide the word. You really do. And if you go back and you look at the tribes of Israel and you understand the Gentile times and you understand the dispensations of the Bible, I mean, if you read the book of Revelations and you understand the dispensations of the book of Revelations, you'll understand. I mean, look at Japheth, Shem, and Ham, you know, or look at the birthright from Ishmael and Isaac. They're fighting with each other right before your very eyes. You know, the birthright of Isaac and Ishmael. You know, Isaac was given the birthright. Ishmael hates him. Ishmael would be a wild man. You know, look at the wild countries out there today. You know, look at the continent of Africa. They're starving themselves to death because wrong God, the wrong God. You know, you look at it says Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. You know, I mean, for goodness sake, Shem will dwell in the tents of Japheth. You know, and then you go back to, you got to really rightly divide the word of God. The blueprint is in front of you. People say, well, I can't understand the theys and thys and thus. But you know what? You can understand the little icons on Facebook. You can understand the little icons on your dumb phones. You can understand what LOLOLL means, laugh out loud, but you can't understand thy and the in your King James 1611 Bible. Shame on you on this Passover here. And Jesus was put to the cross on Wednesday, and he rose on Saturday. And so let me ask this to the people out there listening. Let me ask this. Good Friday, the Roman Catholic holiday. The Roman Empire will rise again. That's where the false prophet will rise. and then the Antichrist will rise from the Middle East, okay? But the false prophet will rise again. The Roman Empire will revive itself. Go to the book of Revelations. I don't have the verses in front of me. I could read them to you. We could do another show on that. But
yeah, we could do another
let's
show on
look
that.
At that. Good Friday. Yeah. If Jesus was put to the cross on Friday and rose 3 days later, what the hell are you doing celebrating Easter Sunday? Because if he rose 3 days later, you go Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So, well, you know, if he rose 3 days later, what the hell are we doing celebrating Easter Sunday then? Easter, you know?
Well,
it's an Osiris,
yeah, I know. The Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church made that a holiday. Okay, that is true. But you know, I mean, if you really look at it, Friday and Saturday was Friday to Saturday night is considered one day. Okay, it's considered one day. According to the Jews of the Sabbath, okay? So if he rose on a Sunday, it's only a day and a half.
Well, look, Saturday is what, according to the Jewish calendar? It's the seventh day. Saturday is the seventh day. And, you know, and you see, the Antichrist is very tricky, and that's why he's called the Antichrist. Because he mimics everything Jesus does. That's why he's called the Antichrist. You know, and you get back to the numbers of the Bible. Seven is the day of completion. And I talked about this on my radio show, the 7 Day War, when Israel was attacked by every Muslim nation in 1967. It lasted 6 days. On the seventh day, it ended. You know, Israel, look, God's going to protect Israel no matter what. And Moscow, which is called Moscow, the Red Army, will invade from the north and conquer Israel, and the Antichrist will intervene and pretend to be God. All right? Because God's not going to let anything happen to his holy land. It doesn't matter. I mean, for goodness sake, you can go and look on YouTube. I mean, look, they're attacking Israel constantly, and nothing ever happens. Why? Because God intervenes. God's not going to allow anything to happen anymore since 1948 when Israel was reestablished. And that was prophesied, by the way, if you go back to the book of Daniel. I don't have the verse in front of me, all right? But God's not going to allow anything to happen. And even when the Red Army invades from the north, which is called Moscow in the Bible, it's in the book of Ezekiel. You can look it up. I don't have all the verses because I wasn't prepared for this, but I can read the verses to you. And the Antichrist is going to stop that, and he's going to declare peace, and there's going to be peace on earth. And we're going to have our one world order, our one world religion, where we see it happening right before our very eyes. We all need to unite and become one. I mean, Muslims, Catholics, Hindus, Judaism, everything needs to unite, and we'll have a one, and the Roman Catholic Church will oversee that, because the Roman Empire will rise again, okay, and that's where the false prophet will come and perform miracles, and then you're going to have the two prophets, which is foretold in the Bible. I can give you those verses. I wish I had them in front of me. I wish I knew I was coming on your program here tonight. Most likely it'll be Elijah and Moses. It will be the two prophets that will be slain in Israel for the whole world to see. And where else in time today where we could see what's really happening around the world in real time? We're going to watch those two prophets be slain, and then we're going to go into the second half of the tribulation, and you're going to see hell on earth, folks. So,
yep.
Like this brother just said, accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe
Amen.
It in your heart. Believe it in
callers.
Your heart.
I got some other callers I got to try to bring on and see.
I'll stay quiet. I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
Okay. All righty. 413, you're on the air.
Hello, everybody. And State Institution, this is Joshua. How's everybody doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Tonight?
Yeah, I got a salvation all over my face. Yeah, I do accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is my Savior. You know, I look up to Jesus. I don't know about you. But, you know, for a little bit, Kenny, yeah, Joe, did Kenny tell you about the Bible that I helped him write?
I didn't write a poem. I didn't write a Bible. You did, sir.
Well, I think you were the editor. You were the editor. Joseph knows that, right, Joseph?
Well, King James wrote the seven translations, sir, and that was foretold in the Book of Psalms, the seven translations, so I don't know what you're talking about. The Bible describes the events and conditions that would mark the conclusion of the current system of the things or the end of the world. And if you go to Matthew 24:3, King James Version, the Bible calls this the time of period of the last days. And you could also refer to 2 Timothy 3:1, Daniel 8:1-9. Very easy to read. So I don't know what you're talking about, that Kenny wrote this Bible. That's probably a crank caller in God's Rainbow Ministries. Obviously, he doesn't want to discuss. Do you want to discuss Revelation 11:18, sir? Because I got my Bible out right now.
If you want to do a Bible debate right now, we could do that. Do you want to do a Bible debate or a debate about logic, sir?
No, sir. I don't care about man's logic, sir. I care about the 1611 King James Version. Do you have your Bible out in front of you? You want to talk about Luke 21:11? You want to talk about Matthew 24:12? Revelation 11:18? No, or 2 Timothy 3:1-4? Or 2 Timothy 3:2-3? Do you want to talk about those things, sir? Because I got my Bible and my theological notes out right now, sir.
You do need your Bible, don't you? You do need your Bible.
Yeah, I do need my Bible. Yes, I do, sir. I do need my Bible. Yes, I do. And you do, too.
Okay, I'm going to cut him off. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, God's Rainbow Ministry. Obviously, he wants to have a debate and a discussion where he has no facts to bring forth to this show. If he wants to talk about Matthew 24:7 or Revelation 6:5-6, we can do that. You know,
go ahead. He wrote this person that we're talking about, he wrote a Bible that goes against everything, okay, that Jesus stands for, okay. It was really bad, okay. And he tried to make it like I was part of it, but I wasn't part of his Bible writing.
I'll tell you what, God's Rainbow Ministries. First of all, if you go to, the Book of Daniel, Unsealing Focus on the Middle East and Prophecies, people will understand the end times. They will get it. But, people today are of the mindset that the events of the Old Testament, New Testaments all happened back in biblical days of the human history. They fail to grasp the awesome truth. With all due respect, brother, they fail to grasp the awesome truth that we are still living in biblical days. They never ended. And prophecies are being fulfilled, yea hath said God, Genesis 3:1. The great I am, Exodus 3:14. People don't get, they don't know how to read, they don't understand dispensational charts. They don't get it. They don't and any one of you out there who are listening tonight that don't want to call in, you need to understand the dispensational charts. You need to understand the first advent, the second advent, and you need to rightly divide your word. It's all there in your 1611 King James Bible. The problem, and people say, well, I don't understand it. Well, if you go to the Antichrist of Daniel 7:19-27, read it.
Yeah.
Or if you can go to Pentecost, go to the Pentecost of Joel 2:26-29. And then that will bring you to the new heavens, Isaiah 65:7, and then 66:22. People don't understand heavens. They don't get it. God created earth and the heavens. You need to understand, real quick, just let me read this. For I would not, brethren, that shall be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That comes from Romans 11:25. And what that means is that we are in the times of the Gentile right now. We are in the dispensation of grace. So therefore, like God's Rainbow Ministries preached earlier in his show, you have a choice to make. You can accept the Lord as your God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept and believe that he rose. He died and rose again, and you are hereby saved. No matter what, no matter what lifestyle you have, no matter how you live, no matter what you believe, you are hereby saved. But you need to understand, when the dispensation of grace is over, we will go into the times of tribulation, okay? And you need to understand that. And I could read to you Deuteronomy 4:30, which I won't, time permitting, Deuteronomy 4:30, Deuteronomy 31:29, Jeremiah 23:20, Jeremiah 30:24. Jeremiah 48:47, okay, Ezekiel 38:8-16, Daniel 2:28, Daniel 10:14, Hosea 3:5, and in the last days, see this, Genesis 49-1, Isaiah 2:2, okay, Acts 2:17, okay, Hebrews 1:2. 2 Peter 3:3. Document that down, folks. Okay? And I'm not going to get into a theological lesson here tonight, but you need to understand the dispensation of the Bible. You need to understand the times in which we live in today. And that's the name of my show. And if God's Rainbow Ministries, if you don't mind me just mentioning that, Sunday night, 7. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because I do the same for you. Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, understanding the times in which you live in today, which I'll be leaving Blog Talk Radio soon, because I'm going to create a website and a talk show, radio show, where we can get rid of these filthy-minded people. And you know what? We'll allow people to subscribe for free, unlike Blog Talk Radio. But then eventually we're going to charge people maybe $1, not $40 a month, and allow them to come on. So we know who these idiots are who call in, and these antichrists, because there are many antichrists, as foretold in Jeremiah 30:24, that tried to take away from the true word of God and what this brother here is doing here tonight. And that's why I love God's Rainbow Ministry show. And I don't care, Kent is this, he's that, blah, blah, blah. It's not up to me to judge this man's heart. He's here to bring everyone a voice and allow you a voice. And if you use his platform to mock him and judge him, shame on you, because you didn't pay attention to everything we just talked about. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to carry on there. I was just preaching there. But I love you. I appreciate it.
That's all right. Okay. Sometimes you gotta preach when you got it in your heart, the Holy Spirit moving you, and you know, okay, to talk and say what you gotta say. Okay. You definitely did that. Okay. So I got another caller. Okay. From 650. I'm gonna see what they have to say. Okay. I hope it's a good caller. Okay. Hello, 650, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Well, maybe they're not listening.
Satan's got their tongue, brother. They're convicted of their sin tonight. They're convicted of their sin.
Amen. Amen. Well, we got another caller. It's a 111. It's a private caller. I'm going to take it just to see who it might be. And hopefully it's a good caller. It's not a troll caller. Because they've been on for a while, hanging on here. So let's find out who it is. Hello, 111.
Hello.
thing of me. All right. Okay. I don't know why somebody would sit there and want to sit there and put a recording of me on my own show, but that's funny. Okay. Okay. Well, listen, we're getting ready to get down to the end of our show here. Okay. And, we're going to Tony up to come over and say an ending prayer. Okay. And maybe something about what we spoke about tonight.
Now, all I'm going to say is this. Y'all have a great Easter. Hunt eggs, eat barbecue. Just know that Jesus did die for your sins, and that's what it's all truly about. But if you have kids, you know, enjoy them. Hunt eggs, feed them full of candy, watch them get sick. You know how it goes. But I want y'all to sleep well tonight, knowing that you are loved, you're in his peace, and you're in his light.
Amen. 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 Yes, that's so true. Okay? I mean, like I said, okay, I mean, Easter, is really for kids, okay? Okay? To have fun on Easter, okay? I'm going to say God bless everybody. I'm going to play a song that's going to take us out, okay? And we're going to go from there. All righty.
Thank you, God's Rainbow Ministries, for allowing me to speak on your platform tonight. And thank you to your co-host there. I appreciate it. I love him. And he gave a last word there, and I appreciate that. And I love him, too. So God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Gibson.
Thank you very much. God bless you. And I'll call into your show tomorrow night when I get done with my show, because it'll be about a half hour in by the time I get done with my show.
That's fine. You always got a voice, and your guests always have a voice also on my program, because I love you, because you're my brother. I love you very much. God bless, and be safe out there, everybody, please.
Amen. So I'm going to play a song that's going to take us out. Here we go.
Rainy day, take me to that old cafe, watch the tears drop, chip away with
And, well, don't forget about tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to have God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church. Okay, you're all welcome to join in, okay, and listen to the sermon. Okay, thank you all for listening on the link. Okay, thank you all for that listened on the chat room. Okay, I want to give a shout out to Matt Mark, Jessica Glovney, okay, Porsche Monkey Man, okay, I guess that's it. Who we had we have another one. It's JCRE. Okay. Shout out to you. Okay. Thank you all for listening to tonight's program. So God bless y'all. Have a wonderful night. Until we meet again tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Okay. Bye bye.
Happy Easter, y'all.
Happy Easter.